Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, hello there, one and all, and welcome to the Football Ramble. Arsenal impressed against the Hammers, and Ward-Prowse edges closer to Davy Beckham's record. It's Thursday, 16th of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Oh, haven't we been enjoying these midweek Premier League fixtures, Jim? It's always nice when you get a little treat of what they call the English disease abroad, don't they? Because often it was the Premier League that would have midweek fixtures and the other leagues wouldn't do it. But we do it, Jim, and we do it well.
Well, you know, when it's not been half decimated by an actual disease, yeah. It is nice, though, isn't it? I love the midweek match of the days in December. It's all good.
Oh. It's an absolute treat, Pete Donaldson. Mm. And when you have Arsenal beating West Ham 2-0 and Bukayo Saka and Emile Smith-Rowe playing like that to prompt people to start singing Rockin' All Over the World, but inserting...
Let's have it. Sing it.
All right, here we go. Oh, Saka and Emile Smith-Rowe.
Yeah. I have fantasies about meeting Bukayo Saka.
Why?
I just think I would like to have the opportunity to shake his hand and say thank you for all your work at England level.
Yeah,
But it's a fantasy that it's in my soul like a lot, and I just think that it needs to happen soon, or else my head will explode.
He's a bit like football's son. Do you know what I mean? You just really want him to do well. You're proud of him.
The whole team, Jim, as a Arsenal fan, you must be so pleased with how. I said it a few weeks ago, like, this team is only going to get better and better and better and better, and I am enjoying watching them at the moment.
Yeah, they're the most likeable they've been in a long time, actually, which is perhaps sometimes a bit of an underrated factor in how you relate to your own team, right? You really, really want all these guys to do well. Part of it is their youth and the fact that there feels like there's a lot more to come. I think the challenge is improving at a rate that means you do get to capitalize on seeing them all together when they're older, rather than things, you know, going awry and you losing a play here and there, as is often the case with projects like this. But yesterday they were so dynamic, just so good. I was so impressed with the way they played. The Aubameyang thing didn't seem to be an issue at all. Lacazette really, really stepped up and led. He had his best game of the season for Arsenal and the best I've seen him play in a long time, despite him having his penalty saved. But yeah, they seem to carve through West Ham on the flanks fairly easily, and we're talking about a good side who defended very, very well too. Craig Dawson was absolutely excellent. So it was just the last couple of games have just been so enjoyable to watch, and it's nice to watch it sort of stress free.
You're sounding a bit like David Moyes in that, you know, obviously it was all sort of a bit doom and gloom, and now it's quite odd to hear you talk all happiness about your football team, Jim.
I think this will happen all season. It will go up and down because it's the nature of Arsenal's position, isn't it? That they are perceived to be, you know, below where they should be in terms of the table and status. But obviously the reality is it is a young team that isn't, you know, one of Wenger's classic teams. So they are going to lose games. They are going to lose a stupid game here and there. And then that's going to seem like a crisis because Arsenal were just in this position where people expect essentially a top four team. But we don't know if that is going to be the case yet. We'll know that by the end of the season. Clearly they're having a tilt at it, but we don't know. And I personally do find that frustrating because when everyone's behind the team, it's just so much more fun. It's just so more enjoyable as a fan. You know, you can only, you know, you can't really affect the game realistically, can you, apart from cheering on your team when you get into the stadium. So it does frustrate me if Arsenal lose a game in which they've played pretty well, like the Man United game. Obviously, the Everton game was annoying, but people immediately start calling for the manager's head and stuff like that. And essentially what I'm saying is, though I might be crowing now, this is going to happen again at some point this season.
Yeah, well, Arsenal are a top four side now because they've slipped in to absolutely fourth position, Peter. Yeah. We've spoken very briefly there about Emile Smith Rowe and Bukayo Saka and how we'd like to meet, well, let's say both of them.
Yes, okay.
But Gabriel Martinelli opened the scoring with a lovely goal, didn't he?
And Martinelli on the telly.
Yeah, always pleasing to see. But I was very impressed with the young man, as we all were. I was surprised he's still only 20, because I sort of thought, oh, he's been there for a while. But no, he hasn't. He only signed, I think, 2019, was it, to Arsenal? Nice little flick through one of the players' legs. Lovely goal, Peter.
It was.
And another young player that Arsenal have got among their ranks that that's looking very promising indeed. But I'd like to get your thoughts on the penalty, Peter.
I disagree with everyone I heard on TalkSport this morning.
Was that about a penalty or something else?
And I think it was. I think it was a penalty. And David Moyes was very much into it as well. He was like, "Yeah, it was a penalty," which surprised me because it has been a week of slightly soft, slightly strange, slightly odd decisions in the Premier League. But I think on this occasion, I think he got it right.
You've completely agreed with David Moyes, because let me read you the quote there. He said, "We had a weekend of really soft penalty kicks, and I think Anthony Taylor might have got this one right. Koufal should have toe-poked the ball away or blocked it. I don't think it was that difficult to tackle to make."
Well, he'd know.
Yes, so you and Moyes again united in your views about crucial moments in football. Yeah. But of course, Lacazette, as Jim said, missed the penalty kick. Arteta said, well, he'll be on the next one. He took it, did he say? He took it with pride and passion or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think it's worth in this occasion or in this instance saying that actually Fabianski saved that penalty. Do you know what I mean? I think it's always harsh when a penalty is saved to say that.
Nice to see him back at Arsenal, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's good to see ex-players doing well. And Fabianski now seems really solid, doesn't he? Like, people don't call him Flappianski anymore. It was actually a pretty good penalty, but it was just a really good save, and it's going to happen. So, yeah, I was actually impressed, though. Part of Arsenal's problems this season has been going 1-0 up, getting a little bit coy, trying to maybe sort of defend the lead a bit too much, like, you know, forgetting it's only one goal. But they didn't let the penalty miss affect them for too long. It's about a 5-minute spell where, even though West Ham had gone down to 10, you know, Arsenal looks a bit cagey, but they got back into the game and saw it out. And I was impressed by that. And I think if they can keep improving that aspect of the game, they're likely to essentially maybe stop getting battered by the big teams and just be a bit more present in those games.
Well, Jim, no team has picked up more points at home this season than Arsenal. 22 points.
Yeah, they've been very good there.
Yeah. Could we use the word fortress?
I hope so. I really hope so.
It's one of my favourite terms of football, a bit like war chest. Is it a fortress?
Yeah, absolutely. Or a sweep.
Can we make it a buttress instead? It's not as good as a fortress.
Yeah, I know. Do you have to go through the stages?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd be comfortable calling it a buttress. There are plans to expand the buttress into a fortress, but obviously you have to do that on a game-by-game basis.
Buttress, fortress, what comes next? The Arsenal defensive team. Why don't they sing that song?
It's a lesson. I think they've been trying to get it going on the terraces, but it is a bit tricky.
Can I say, actually, about that Saka and Smith Rowe song, I do find it frustrating that it's "Here We Go, Saka and Emil Smith Rowe," when it could be "Bukayo, Saka and Emil Smith Rowe." It's right there. You could use both of their full names. It's too late now, though.
But like the buttress and the fortress, you know, that's being honed and
it'll be refined, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like watching that Beatles documentary you've been watching, Marcus. Refining the songs over and over again.
Exactly. When are you going to get to the actual song of Get Back, for crying out loud?
Marcus and Jim and anyone who's listening, I guess. Yes. I am sad that I think West Ham might be on the turn. Their season was always going to be hinging on their squad depth, but they've got no defenders fit and they could really do with being dumped out the FA Cup fortress, couldn't they?
Yeah, but they're going
to... one shot on target to Arsenal's eight. Yeah. It's not great, is it?
It's all about the Europa.
It's all about the Europa.
That's what they're going to do.
What's that, March? It feels like it gets later every year.
Yeah, I know.
We don't have to worry about that until
August. Have they got a bye to the final or something? Does it work? And then they meet Napoli or something? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I know what you mean. But inevitably, with a side who... the neutral kind of gets behind. Mm. It's usually a good start, and then it all kind of begins to kind of plateau off.
Yeah. Mm.
Because inevitably, as you say, Pete, you know, I know everyone's squad is depleted at the moment, but if you will, in the normal runnings, you know, that it is, compared to some of the big boys, it's a slightly limited squad. Mm. But also, they are being stretched in other competitions. And you can't ignore that Europa League campaign. It is incredibly exciting. They're doing very, very well indeed. Mm. And perhaps you don't like to say these kind of things, but perhaps as the season goes on, you do have to slightly prioritise. Mm. So we shall see.
Yeah. I mean, they've got Norwich at home next, which is absolutely ideal, isn't it? Really, if you want to sort of like get yourself going again. And I think they've got a pretty good run coming up of teams that are sort of essentially in the bottom half. So they do have an opportunity to try and arrest it and kind of just keep this going. But yeah, I mean, I want to see them do as well as possible, really.
Mm. Did you see it was David Moyes' 600th Premier League game as a manager, joining Sir Alex Ferguson, Arsene Wenger and Harry Redknapp?
Yes, please.
Esteemed company he's got there. Obviously, you know, they just didn't stop after 600 games before anybody points that out. So he's not about to get the record. But that is very, very impressive considering, you know, he had a bit of time away and whatnot. But it shows you, you know, what, you know, eating crisps in the terraces in La Liga can do for you.
Taking Sunderland down.
Or taking Sunderland down. Well, that will happen, Peter. We can all agree. By the way, we mentioned the penalty. Did we think it was a sending off for Coufal? Suppose if he's already on a booking.
I can see why he's not on the field anymore, but it's a bit of a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks harsh, but it was deemed to be reckless, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So if it's been deemed so, then he has to give the second yellow. But I don't know.
Tricky second yellow.
Necessarily that reckless.
Yeah, very true. Well, Jim, speaking of sendings off, did you see that in Paraguay, a goalkeeper was sent off seconds before kickoff in the country's Super Cup final last weekend? So before the ball has even been kicked, Jean Fernandez, he sort of crossed his arms in front of his throat. It was sort of a slightly threatening kind of...
He stuck a sausage in his eye as well.
But that may or may not be true. But he did that sort of like crossing his...
What was he doing? Like a kind of undertaker, kind of like, I'm going to kill you.
No, but it was... but with both hands, like a sort of...
Right. It looks like he was just kind of like showing... where his beard, because he's got a bit of a beard, that guy. Yeah. He's sort of going, look how big my beard could be.
That will be his argument, certainly, in the appeal. Yeah. But anyway, he did that in front of opposition supporters as he walked towards his goal.
It's like a little TikTok dance.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's a TikTok dance where everyone goes, like that.
Da, 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 da,
and it's a bit like that.
That's a bit like hey, Macarena. I remember
it. Should we get into TikTok, mate? Marcus, should we get into TikTok? Come on, me and you, mate. We'll share an account.
I think it's about time.
I'll do the midnight hours. Well, it gets a bit lustful.
Lovely. And I'll just watch. But he was sent off for this.
Yeah.
It was VAR. It wasn't even one of the main cameras. You know that camera that's tucked in the top corner that you see once every few weeks when someone stuffs one in the top corner? It was that camera that caught it.
It was possible actual offensive or, as it says on the screen. Possible actuar. It was offensive.
It was a provocative gesture.
Yeah,
to the fan. Nice. We can't have that. Yeah. Whereas his actual defence was that he was performing a Brazilian funk music gesture. opposition fan. Anyone into this?
No.
Yeah. Can't gesture anything these days, can you?
What
an explanation that is. It's like actually a Brazilian funk music gesture. You know what? It might take us half an hour to check this. If you say something that confusing, maybe that's how you get away with it.
He just put down his rosary beads as well, which amused me. Yeah, right next to the post.
Hang on, he put down his rosary beads, threatened to essentially slit the throats of the fans. Then he was actually gesturing about Brazilian funk. This guy's amazing.
We need more on this chat because this is indeed.
Rise again a few days later.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Gentlemen, let's move on to Crystal Palace 2, Southampton 2. James Ward-Prowse with a trademark whip beat Donaldson.
Whip it real good.
Yes. I think that's his 11th Premier League free kick, which is 7 behind Davy Beckham's record.
Yeah, it was an interesting game because I think Crystal Palace had more than enough in them to beat a quite middling to poor to awful Southampton, which had been the past few weeks. But like, they did leave a lot of mid space in midfield and spent a lot of time sort of just playing out from the back. That didn't it didn't need to happen. I'm not all for like lumping it up to the forwards, but there was a definite lack of urgency and organisation at the back, which just let Southampton in. Didn't need it.
I know what you mean. Well, I think that's the under Vieira. You know, they try new styles and whatnot.
Yeah,
and it's been
a work
largely
in progress.
Exactly. And you're always going to have a few moments like this. I did like Ralph Hasenhüttl's assessment. From two teams always drawing the season, it was a logical result. I like those kind of...
I thought he would have liked to draw a 2-2, though, surely.
When they got the lead and, Ayew hadn't scored for so long,
JWP, he's third on all-time Premier League goal scored from direct free kicks.
Is he third? I thought he was joint fourth.
He is joint fourth. I'm talking absolute nonsense.
That's what happens, you see. You miss out the third, don't you?
David says David Beckham, Thierry Henry and Gianfranco Zola scoring more.
I thought Seb Larsson scored quite a few former Sunderland.
Oh,
moments.
I surely wouldn't have got anywhere near.
Not that many.
Beckham, yeah.
Mm. No, but he did score quite a few. But what company to be among, Jim, with the... free kicks and whatnot.
Yeah, but Broha we don't scored. Know he was though. You're just riding the Seb Larsson train, which I didn't see coming.
No, I am.
Seb Larsson propaganda train.
Nice goal from Broha, who looks like a good player. Mm. Another Chelsea loanee. He looked very aggressively pleased with himself when he scored that goal.
Yeah, I didn't realise that a lot of like loanees and certainly Chelsea loanees. Yeah. The modern loan agreement contractually dictates that if you play enough games for the team that you've been loaned to, you're not allowed to be recalled. And so if you don't play enough, you can be recalled because things sort of go, well, look.
Yeah.
And it happens a lot when Newcastle players, when they go north of the border.
I see.
They go, let's have you back from Aberdeen.
Come on.
Let's have you back from Hibs, please.
Chelsea are not going to be able to recall Conor Gallagher, are they?
No.
The all-action Conor Gallagher, who he didn't score a beauty in that game, which was an absolute disgrace, if you ask me. Indeed, yeah. Nice to see Southampton finishing the game with Theo Walcott and Shane Long up front. Clearly looking for the ball in behind there. You're talking about long balls and so on. let's try and attack that defence from behind.
Yeah. Long ball behind into about 2016, I'd imagine.
It didn't quite work. Southampton started with 7 players, 24 years old or younger. So young side. I mean, it's interesting with Hasenhüttl, isn't it? Because I sort of think they're in danger of the drop. But under Hasenhüttl, I don't think they'll go down.
Yeah, but that in itself is a dangerous position, isn't it? It's like if you spend too long staying up because there are teams who are shitter than you, rather than you actually improving or kind of moving in a positive direction, sooner or later you become one of those teams.
Yeah, Southampton would have definitely been gutted when Steve Bruce got sacked. There's a lot of things. We'd be like, oh, not Eddie. We're going to have to pull our socks up a little bit. But could Brighton be pulled back into the relegation business, Peter? They lost 1-0 to Wolves. What a goal, though. Mm. It's an absolute delightful goal, that one. Ruben Neves, beautiful assist. Mm. And Roman Saiss scoring a lovely goal. Though he wasn't... His comment was quite funny. He said, it was a fantastic pass, but I deserve credit for the finish with my right foot. I never use my right foot. It's like, all right, mate. It did look like he tried to square it across back.
Yeah.
No, beautiful goal, though.
To be fair, though, if you don't score a huge amount of goals and you get a winner as well, you win the match with a goal and everyone's going, the pass. Did you see the pass? Like, well, hang on. I still had a bit to do.
He's living up to his name, Sass. Yeah. bit of Roman Paul Sass.
They're very true. He is right, though. I mean, the pass was delicious, but I think you've got to take the whole thing as a neat little package.
You have, but was it victory has many fathers and failure has very few?
Yeah, but surely history is written by the winning goal scorer.
Yes, I suppose. And when you're a Wolves side that sets up to defend, like you do, you're probably going to edge. You're going to edge it 1-0 or draw it completely goalless. I think Wolves set up to do one thing away from home, and they just and they went about it really well, I thought.
Pete, can I clarify, when you said Wales instead of Wolves there, did you mean Wales the country or Wales the creature?
Imagine those. Imagine a big whale with seven wolves on top.
Oh, I can't.
Well, have a go.
Yeah.
What, your mind will not extend to that, Mark?
No, because I'm wondering...
A whale with loads of wolves on the
top. No, but it's a picture. It's weird, but it's
drinking
not
from the blowhole.
Yeah. Careful. I was wondering if the wolves...
He's opting out. Marcus is opting out of the image.
No, but are the wolves in the water?
The whale is above the water. Part of it is above the waterline, and the wolves are on top. They're like surfboarding, effectively.
Well, I thought the whale had been beached and the wolves had formed a pack and they were trying to get it back in the water. That was where my imagination was.
What beaches are you going to that's got packs of wolves knocking about? Benevolent packs of wolves. Wolf lifeguards.
What are your little islands you go to?
I can't comment on that, but there we are. But at least those games went ahead, gentlemen, because Burnley versus Watford, it was called off 2.5 hours before kickoff due to a COVID outbreak in the Watford camp, with the Premier League saying they had an insufficient number of first team players to fulfil the match. Now, this is getting messy, isn't it?
It is getting messy. Then obviously players aren't in bubbles at the moment, and I don't know whether that will change anytime soon. There's a real kind of drive, and Jurgen Klopp was spoke quite eloquently about it, that players need to be boosted, need to be vaccinated, and a lot of players are. We talked about this morning on the radio that a lot of players, certainly ones that have a Trying for Kids and stuff, they've sort of read the frankly nonsense about leaving your sterile and stuff, and so a lot of them don't want to do that for that reason, and others obviously. So it's going to be interesting to see whether there'll be at some point a two-tier system of players who have been vaccinated, non-vaccinated, who will have to train by themselves, who can't play effectively. You know, you have every right to do whatever you want with your body, but it's a commercial enterprise and you have every right to not play, unfortunately. So it's difficult. It is difficult.
It is very, very difficult.
I don't know why the Premier League aren't showing leadership, but then they rarely do they, Marcus?
Yeah, you'll be asking the government to show leadership in a minute.
Italy's, I think Serie A's got like 95% jabbed.
What is it? Yeah, did you say it was 68% here, I think?
Yeah and 68%, that figure came out a few months ago, isn't it? It's not been updated since, which is interesting.
Yeah. But and then you have Brendan Rodgers saying that they tried to postpone the game against Tottenham Hotspur, Leicester's game, and saying that, well, this isn't fair. This is favouritism being shown for certain teams. And if a match is going to be on TV, then you're saying, well, you can't lose your sort of product and all this kind of stuff. And as you say, this all suddenly gets very, very messy because the Premier League take each game on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
So it's not sort of a blanket rule. There are a few rules that, you know, if you've got 14 players, I think, available, you can dip in your under-23s. Mm. Whereas if you don't have 14 players available and your training ground has been shut, then it's pretty likely that the game's going to be called off.
I think
off.
You're legally entitled to take a Chelsea loanee on loan.
Is that right? Anyone could call in a Chelsea loanee. Although, if Chelsea aren't playing, you can loan in one of their
players.
It's
like a video game. They come out of helicopters.
Can we get Mason Mountain? No, you can't.
What's really interesting about this as well is that Leicester wanted the game called off. Spurs saw it as an opportunity to play the game with Rennes in the Europa, in the Conference League, but it was denied. So they might go out of a competition through no fault of their own there, when that really does seem to be a workable solution that suited all parties. So that's, I think, pretty harsh on them.
Well, Conte was particularly angry about that. And he said, look, we even said we would go to France and play it. They really want to fulfil that fixture. And people will have their opinions about the game when it was called off. But it does look like that they could be put out of the competition because they can't fulfil the fixture and the game is then given to Rennes. But we shall see what happens there because nothing has been ruled on that. Mm. Of course, though, if you want some more European football chat, get yourselves over to a Football Ramble Presents for today's On the Continent. Dotton, Andy and David Cartledge will be talking about two La Liga title chases from Sevilla and that chaotic Champions League draw. It'll be out a little bit later than usual today on Football Ramble Presents, but do keep your eye out for that. All right, let's have a quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
We're Not Fucking Historians is the show all about Irish history, where Shane Todd and Hazel Hayes bring you a few facts and plenty of crack. This month saw their most important episode yet, the history of Ireland's favourite malty beverage.
That's where he's got the brewery, St. James's Gate. He took out a 9,000-year lease.
In the year 10,000, that's going to be a sad day for Guinness when they're booted out.
10,759 AD.
Heineken just come in and go, finally we've got it.
On Tuesday, they're reflecting on their own festive traditions and a few things you might not know about the Emerald Isle's Christmas connections.
There is apparently mounting evidence that St. Nicholas of Myra, who inspired the legend of Santa, is buried in County Kilkenny. It's actually on private land, so they don't allow visitors.
I don't think it's a great one to sell to kids. Can we go to Disneyland? No, come on, I'll take you to where Santa's buried.
So come on in and get involved. Search We're Not Historians. That's We're Not Historians wherever you get your podcasts.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe and this is the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for emails.
If you've got something for us, show us footballramble.com.
We got an email from Mike regarding Tuesday's story about the pig released on the pitch in the AFL. I wanted to provide a correction and put some meat on them bones. It wasn't a tribute to Tony Plugger Lockett, but Sydney's attempt to put him off as he was on the opposition St Kilda.
Ah.
Sydney Scott Watters told the story as follows. With the team sat in the pub the week before the game thinking of how to stop Plugger, we tossed ideas around over a couple of beers and a few laughs. Then a guy with a goatee sidled up to us. He said he'd been listening to our conversation and was a Sydney diehard who knew how he could beat Plugger.
I know how to beat Plugger.
You want to know how to beat Plugger?
He said his name was Joe and he's a pig farmer.
He reckoned that if he...
Of course he was.
He reckoned that if we painted a number 4 and plugger on the sides of a pig and a strategic time in the game unleashed it on the SCG, it would put plugger off his game.
How did he know that for sure?
Yeah, look. I hate pigs. We told him initially to go away, but after a few more drinks, the idea started to gain momentum. We got him back into the group and exchanged phone numbers. The following Wednesday, I got a call. It's Joe, the pig farmer. I'm in Sydney and I got the pig. Where can we put it? I told him...
Imagine receiving that call.
I can't confirm how the pig got into the ground or who wrote the misspelled plugger with P-L-U-G-G-A, but I have it on pretty good authority that there was a meeting in the car park where it was wrapped in a couple of towels and put into a training bag. Plugger didn't end up playing the game. They still lost.
Oh, Plugger.
For sake.
He knew there was a pig on the loose.
The best laid plans of pigs and men.
Is every word of that a lie?
I think it would have had a more exciting denouement if it was
maybe
a lie, surely.
I love the sound of this Joe fella. Do you think his answer to everything is just pigs?
Yeah. Pigs.
Yeah, I've got a pig for that.
So you're just going to fix your aeroplane? Pigs.
Do you know it'll help you in your job interview? Yeah, but he just goes around the bars and pubs of Sydney offering pigs.
Have you just got a lot of pigs in your hands? You try and get rid of them.
Yeah. It's like the pig king, the Joe Exotic of pigs.
Is that right?
Oh, dear.
Nice. Show at footballramble.com.
Yeah. Very much oinky news.
Right, gentlemen. Yesterday, the on the show, we talked about Sergio Aguero retiring from the game of football. Yes, of course, he announced at a press conference he'd be quitting Barcelona and retire from professional football because of an irregular heartbeat. I just wanted to talk a bit more about the great man, of course, because it was quite on the hop yesterday. It was kind of breaking news. Because a player like him deserves a big old mention for what he did for the game or in the game and what he did for Manchester City, you could say. I mean, a phenomenal player. One of the great strikers of his own generation, you would say. One of the best strikers in Premier League history or top flight English football history. You don't have to limit to the Premier League, of course. An incredible player. And it is a shame that he's having to quit football a little bit early at the age of 33. But apparently, according to his friends, you know, he's actually been quite... philosophical about
sanguine,
the whole thing.
Yeah.
Sanguine, yes, you could say. Because he achieved so much in the game. Mm. And what a player he was. I mean, Jim, we remember when he burst onto the scene at Manchester City. We knew he was a great player because obviously Atletico Madrid, he'd been doing some good stuff there, winning the Europa League. And I think they won the Super Cup, if my memory serves me well, the European Super Cup. And when he arrived in the Prem, people were saying, this guy, we love a squat Argentinian striker.
Yeah.
And that, was it a substitute? He came on against Swansea City and those two goals. And it was like, oh, hello.
And it's
fair to say he started as he meant to go on. I mean, of course, there was injuries, which was a great show. But imagine what he would have achieved without the injuries, for crying out.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal, his record. He is one of the great Premier League strikers, one of the best strikers we've ever seen in English football, really. I think you can you can certainly make the argument that he is an all-time great. And does he hold the record for, I think it's most goals for a single team in the Premier League, doesn't he, as well? And his goal to minutes ratio is ridiculous, just absolutely ridiculous. There aren't enough superlatives. He was just an absolute joy to watch. I'm so sad for him. I'm glad to hear that he's taken it well.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because obviously that must be a very, very difficult thing.
And that he's retiring now rather than, say, like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. At least you would argue he was in his twilight years as a performer. And he certainly showed that in the Premier League in the last season or so. But, I mean, fundamentally, like, is he third highest scorer for Argentina? Like, I mean, Batistuta and Messi, he's not bad company, really.
Man City's top goal scorer of all time, which is a record you would imagine he'll keep for a bit.
Yeah, just a bit.
Unless Erling Haaland turns up or something like that.
But I think on international level, I think maybe his achievements are even more... Because he never had a great tournament, really.
I know what you mean.
Like, he was good in the last one, but... The team were a mess, and obviously overshadowed by other footballers, totemic footballers in that side. And so it was a little bit more difficult for him. I think if he'd played in a better Argentina side and a more organised Argentina side, possibly not managed by Diego Maradona.
Yeah, that's not going to help.
It's not going to help, is it? I think if they were a bit more organised, he would be celebrated. I think he would. he would be celebrated a little bit more. But as it stands, what a Premier League footballer.
Yeah, and of course, he was a part of the Argentina squad that did reach a World Cup final. And I know people often, I think people sometimes don't give players credit when they lose a final. You think, well, no, actually, he did play in the final. I mean, he played in the Champions League final for his final appearance for Manchester City. Yes, it was a substitute appearance. And yes, of course, it's the disappointment of losing the game. But that is the pinnacle, really, those two stages, you would say, World Cup and Champions League final. And of course, he lost them both, but he was there. Mm-hmm. And it shows you, because very, very few players ever get to grace that stage. But they did win the Copa America Argentina. And I think people might not realise just how important that was. He played a few times. I think he played in a few of the group stages. I'm not sure if he was used in the knockouts. He may have been as a substitute, but certainly didn't play in the final. Certainly didn't start some of the crucial games. I don't think he even scored in the tournament. But the fact is, he was there. And again, Argentina, like Brazil and one or two other sides, but Argentina very much, they're a real partisan lot.
Yeah.
When it comes to football, they absolutely love it. And they do... he'll be in the stands in the next World Cup, you know, swinging his shirt around his head with all the boys, you know. And I think that will be a very cherished memory. The fact is, they did win a trophy, because Messi and Aguero and all those players, as you say, they disappointed, and you could argue underperformed, but to win that trophy and to be somewhat a part of it, not as much as he would have liked, of course, but I think that was huge for him. And and also, as I say, you know, when he came on, I think he was one of the youngest players ever to play top flight football in Argentina when he turned out for Independiente. You know, incredible career, and the one goal he did score for Barcelona. Yes, it was a consolation, but it was in the Clásico, so a slight collector's item, if you will. Yeah. Again, it was a consolation, and I sort of understand that. But for him, a goal scorer. Talk about the big stages, to say, I didn't last very long, but he did play at Barcelona for the Nou Camp, and he did score in that fixture.
Is there a more likely kind of, if you're a goalkeeper and you're facing off against Sergio Aguero, and he's about to put a shot through you with his right foot.
Yes.
That, I mean, is there a situation in world football that would make you shit your pants more? Yeah. I don't think there would be.
Maybe if it's Kevin De Bruyne.
He usually doesn't put further out, though.
He's a really important figure for City in terms of their evolution into being the club they are now. Because not just because he scored possibly the iconic Premier League goal, but in that he became an icon himself. You know, if you're going to be a truly top club who are challenging for European honours and sort of become synonymous with the sport itself, you need iconic players. And he, you know, he's one of that first crop. I mean, you put Yaya Toure and David Silva in the same bracket, I think, but him Vincent more Kumpley so well, even than them two. But a big part of that is obviously the goal, but the goal that's scored against QPR to win them their first title, but also just the consistency, the amount of goals. And he's just, what an absolute warrior.
You're right, Jim, because again, when you talk about Manchester City's recent history, you do have to put it in the context of that shadow that loomed large over them from their neighbours, Manchester United, from their quiet neighbours. and for Manchester City, you know, the players that they used to cherish and love in sort of recent years, it was people like Sean Gota, you know, and you should love those players. And I think that's great. And they're sort of the cult heroes.
Of course.
But when they look across the city and they see, you know, the Cantonas and the Rooneys and so on and so forth, they think, well, can't we have one of those players? And the fact is, they do, you know, because you're right, you need to mention Kompany and Silva and Toure and one or two others. But the fact is, they had a goal scorer like that. And there's nothing more than fans like when a player scores goals. Yes, obviously the other players on the pitch, but inevitably that is what we watch football for, really.
And he gave away his car once.
Gave away his car once. Yeah. But that's it. And all the reports are very sort of, despite it, you know, his career, he was a very sort of likeable, humble guy and did a lot in the community as well. Yep. So, yeah, a wonderful career. And then had an interesting time with Guardiola, of course, who demanded more from him. I mean, can you imagine that? And again, that shows you the commitment and the professionalism of Aguero. You know, he's had his injuries and whatnot, but there he is, one of the club's greatest ever players. He's won loads of titles and cups. And Guardiola comes along and goes, well, I want more from you. And you think,
you almost wish that he'd got him a little bit earlier. Imagine what Pep Guardiola could do an injured Sergio Aguero.
But he did make him, but those sort of couple of years where he was really on song, he did manage to squeeze a bit more out of Aguero.
He demanded more and he got it. He adapted his game.
But that's what I mean, Jimmy. Aguero could have said, piss off, mate. You know, I think look at my goals. Look at you know, I think I'm doing more than enough here. But he did it. And apparently Guardiola made the trip to the Nou Camp for his press conference, which is the most sort of Guardiola thing of all time.
Yeah.
I know I got rid of you, but I love you. So yeah, but he will be missed from the football pitch. There's no doubt about that. But we have the memories, of course. And Manchester City fans certainly have a lot of great memories of him. Well, let's look ahead to tonight, gentlemen, because, of course, Leicester are playing Spurs, despite, you know, Brendan Rodgers.
Neither team having any players.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Chelsea, Everton and Liverpool, Newcastle. Another 3 points for Newcastle, Peter.
Did you hear the shot? On Monday. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm one of Howe's boys.
I like it.
He's got me.
Yeah. I like it.
He's got me.
Didn't take the Saudis long to win you over.
That's what I mean. They could have done this fucking 2 years ago. And I would have had a nicer time. This bullshit. Now this has to be tied in with the fucking takeover. They could have torn down those fucking Sports Direct signs 2 seasons ago and given me Eddie Howe.
I know.
So that lump.
I know. Better late than never. Well, they are reportedly closing in a deal for England's Kieran Trippier, which would make him the highest, their highest player.
Mm. I mean, he's been a target for Hav for quite a while, hasn't he?
I mean, quite incredible, really. Last season, he won La Liga.
Mm.
He set up England's goal in the European Championships final. It's a man fitting for St James's Park, you would say, isn't it?
One last big move. to the new China,
is he
Newcastle United.
Is this Callum Wilson saying, please sign him because maybe Southgate will come and have a look at us?
Yes, maybe. Yeah, he'll be forced if he has to buy him in. Yeah, it's probably like dependent on his Callum Wilson's new contract. Sign some England internationals, please.
That'll do me nicely.
So Gareth has to get the tape sent.
Get it. Exactly, yeah. Well, who knows what Newcastle could conjure up at Anfield tonight. We will look forward to that one. What about Everton? Their own fitness situation is pretty bleak. Both Richarlison and Aldridge Townsend have been ruled out until next year. And there was all that stuff about Richarlison, you know, being substituted by Rafa Benitez, and people were angry,
right,
understandably so, because they probably thought it was a tactical decision, but it turned out it was to do with Richarlison's injury. Seamus Coleman himself is a doubt after injury himself on Sunday. But the sort of wider picture at Everton is that Rafa had some positive talks this week with Everton owner Farhad Moshiri. And Rafa said he needs time to change the mood at the club and their fortunes. Because when asked about the situation at the club, he said, which is the feeling of the last years for any Everton fan? Success or frustration? You know the answer. Bit punchy from old Rafa, isn't it, Petey? Yeah.
I think he's feeling the pressure. His last couple of press conferences where he's talked about the club is he's been spiky.
He has been spiky.
He might have a fact sheet before long.
Yes.
Sounds like he's already got one. Mind you, though, Jim, he might be feeling the pressure because there's rumours swirling around that...
Oh, that's the last place you want them.
That Wayne Rooney himself could return to Goodison Park as manager. What do you think of that?
I think that is a terrible idea and I'm all for it.
Who's the bloke away at Cinnamon? That bloke. Isn't he like?
Oh,
hasn't he
Parry.
Got like, yeah, hasn't he got like a vote in somewhere in the club?
Is he?
And he said on Twitter, "Who thinks? Listen, who thinks I should put this man and vote to put this man in the dugout?
Yeah,
I'll have some cinnamon, please.
Yeah, have a bang on
I've
that.
I've had a heart bypass.
Oh dearie me. sadly, Rooney's car was vandalised this week after he refused to move it. To make way for a Christmas market with giant penises drawn into the dirt on his bonnet. So when they say vandalised, it's the soft end of vandalising, isn't it? Because it was just written on the dirt.
Yeah. You think
like,
have a
can Wayne
car.
Rooney not go one day without being like a character from fucking Viz? Like, just follows him around, doesn't it?
I don't get this. There was where was the Christmas market? And Rooney was like, I'm refused. Was it like outside? Well, actually, was it on his driveway?
These things usually in like car parks, aren't they? Yeah,
yeah, maybe. The market had to be built around his Land Rover with the bell ringers moved to a different spot.
Rooney was in a nearby pub, so he probably couldn't move his car. That's not what hasn't been reported.
Oh, right,
the headline for this was Wayne's Todgy Parking, which is the sort of level we're at.
Todgy Parking?
Oh, the penis, sorry, right, the, okay. You know,
I shouldn't be across that, really.
Do you think that's vandalising a car if you write it in dirt? I mean, obviously, you know, we don't suggest people
dog
do
dirt.
That. Yeah, that definitely is. No, but the dirt on the, you know, like on the old white vans, you know, yeah, also available
my
in white.
Car, yeah, my other car is clean.
I wish,
or something,
wish
yeah.
my wife was as dirty as this. Oh, that kind Marcus. Of thing. That was, no, I'm saying that I, was the what people. You
people
clean
say
me.
A lot of stuff you don't have to repeat it, do you?
Clean me was another
clean
one.
Clean me, that's classic. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Also available in white was my favourite of the genre. So I don't know, Jim. You know, let him just let him sleep in a pub.
He probably just dozed off. Just let the man sleep.
As the old expression goes, you snooze, you get penises drawn on your bonnet. Okay. Well, who knows?
Smashing.
Maybe we will see Wazza in the dugout at Everton soon enough. Maybe we won't. But we will certainly see him moving his car next time a Christmas market is on the horizon. There we are. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Thank you very much, Pete Donaldson.
Ta-ta.
Thank you very much, Jimmy Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Sing your song again.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.